Hi, listeners. We are still continuing on in bringing the body of Christ into the maturity of Christ and into the fullness of Christ. So they will be built up and they will be equipped for the works of service so each person can fulfill God's purpose for their lives. As we continue on in the subject of the kingdom of God, God wants the believers to come into greater understanding of what the kingdom of God is and what it is like, and then to operate as the citizens of the kingdom. We have to realize we live in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is in us, according to Luke 17:21. Now, God wants this kingdom that He has placed within us to work itself out and to be demonstrated on the outside to others. He does not want this kingdom that He has placed in us to be a hidden kingdom. God wants to display His kingdom through His believers, the born-again believers. And He wants to bring the body of Christ to a place of understanding what is the kingdom of God is like, and then to demonstrate it to the world. Now, in my previous messages, I spoke one characteristic is it's a kingdom of light. And in my last message, I spoke that it is also a kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, as we continue on in this same subject, we are going to look at another aspect of the kingdom of God, and it is the kingdom of power. God's kingdom is a kingdom of power. In 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, the kingdom of God is not talk, or it's not just word, but power. Kingdom of God is not just talk, but power. Whose power? God's power. God wants to display His power that resides in us to the outside world. And the more we come to know the immeasurable power that has been given to us, then we will believe and have faith to step into those realms and to operate in God's power so we can demonstrate His power on earth. God wants to demonstrate His power on earth. And while we are still on this earth as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, He has chosen to use His people to demonstrate that power to a lost humanity so that they can come to know Him. Now, God has demonstrated His power from the very beginning. When we go back to Genesis, we see God creating this universe. Genesis 1:1 is this: in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now, when we read through the Genesis chapter 1, we see God demonstrating His power, creating the world and the universe. And then we see His power as He creates man and woman. And we see His desire that man and woman take dominion over the things that He has created and to rule on earth. Yet because of sin, that plan got interrupted. But He still continued with His plan, even though it got interrupted by the sin of Adam and Eve. That was not His will for them to sin, but yet since they did, God still was going to continue on with the plan that He had, and He was still going to demonstrate His power on earth. We see that plan continuing through Noah. Then you come to Abraham. We see a promise given to Abraham, and Abraham fathers a child at 100 years. God's promise, Isaac. We see God displaying His power according to God's promise, and we are seeing His power displayed through this man, Abraham. And then God continues on through Abraham and through his descendants. We see Moses and we see the Israelites in Egypt, and they are being mistreated by the Egyptians, and God comes to rescue them and deliver them from that bondage. And we see the power God displayed in Egypt with the plagues, and then finally how He brought them out of Egypt, how he led them through the wilderness. We see his power displayed as he feeds the people with manna. He quenched their thirst through a rock that brings water. We see him feeding them with quail. We see him protecting them, the wild beasts, and from sickness and disease. For 40 years they walked around the wilderness and not even their sandals were worn off, as he demonstrates his power and his love over them. And we see his power continue on as he brings them into the land of Canaan and gives that land as an inheritance which he has promised to Abraham. And now we come down to the New Testament, and we see God demonstrating his power by sending his only begotten Son, Jesus the Messiah, born of a virgin named Mary. Once again, we see him demonstrating his power in keeping up with his promise by sending the Messiah and the Savior of this world. As we read on through the Gospels, we see Jesus coming into his ministry, and we see how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power to go about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So God sent his Son to demonstrate his love and his power and his grace to this human race. And we see Jesus anointed by the Holy Spirit in his ministry. He went about doing good. He preached the gospel. He set captives free. He healed the sick, healed the lepers, healed the blind. He healed the paralytics, raised the dead. We see God demonstrating his power through his Son, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was on earth. Kingdom of God is not just talk, but power. Jesus did not just speak. He just did not only preach and teach. He preached and he taught the people to repent and turn to God. And he said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and turn to God. He said that. But he did not stop there. He demonstrated God's power. Why? Because that's the will of the Father. Father always has desired and delights in demonstrating his power. From the very beginning, from Genesis, all throughout the Bible, we see God demonstrating his power. And when Jesus came, God demonstrated his power and his authority through Jesus as a demonstration of who he is like. He's a God of power. His kingdom is of power. And as born-again believers, we need to see and realize that God still desires to demonstrate the power that he demonstrated through Jesus in our time to the people around us. Jesus said, those that believe in his name will heal the sick, cast out demons. He said, those that believe in him not only do the things that he did, but even greater things than that he did. And that is the desire of the Father. So while Jesus was on earth, we see, as we read the Gospels, we see him performing miracles, healing the sick, delivering the oppressed, casting out demons. We see him using the power of God to set captives free. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and he has destroyed the works of the devil through his death and his resurrection. And now, as his believers, we are to enforce what Jesus has already purchased for us and bought for us. We can enforce what he has done for us on this earth as we walk in his power. So as we go into the scriptures, let's start from Luke 4:36. Luke 4:36. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding areas. Jesus started his ministry. He began to demonstrate God's power and authority. And the Bible says the people were amazed. Why? Because up until that time, they have not seen their religious leaders performing any miracles or healing the sick or setting captives free. They have never seen that. They have never seen the demonstration of the power of God through the teachings of their preachers and teachers. And here comes Jesus on the scene, and all at once he begin to demonstrate this awesome power and authority of God, and people are amazed because they are not used to it. And in the same chapter, if you go back, Jesus read from Book of Isaiah, and I can read it from Luke chapter 4, starting from 18. This is as Jesus began his ministry, and he's saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." The Holy Spirit was on him. Acts 10:38 says, "God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, so that he can go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." So that's what he's saying. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Holy Spirit was on Jesus. Why? So that he can demonstrate the power of God on the earth. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." To preach good news to the poor. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." And he has sent Jesus to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Whatever the prison that you are in, Jesus has come to set you free. Whether it be a sin, darkness, sickness or disease, poverty, mental torment, whatever that kept you in bondage. Whatever keeps you in bondage, you are a prisoner to that bondage. It may not be a prison of four walls. You can be a free person and yet be in bondage to many things. It could be a mental torment. It could be sin, habits, addictions. Those are all bondages. People are prisoners to those things. And Jesus has come to proclaim freedom and set them free. He's going to set them free because God has anointed him with the power of the Holy Spirit to set them free. If it's sin, he can destroy the sin from your life. If it's sickness and disease, he can heal your body. If it's mental torment, guilt, fear, depression, whatever kind of mental torment, he has the power to break those chains of darkness from you and fill you with his peace and rest and his joy. He has the power to do so. If it's poverty, he has come to destroy poverty. He has destroyed poverty so you can walk in the blessings of God. And continue on in the scripture, it says, "And recovery of sight for the blind." Recovery of sight for the blind. Whether you are physically blind, he has the power to heal you and give you sight. If you are spiritually blind, he has the power to open your eyes to the truth so you can walk in the light. To release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now this is what he was sent to do. God demonstrating his power to set captives free. God demonstrating his power to bring his original purpose once again back to the human race. Human race was not created to live under the bondage of sin, sickness or disease or poverty or mental torment. We were created to live in freedom in every area of our lives. So here comes Jesus, and God empowers him with the Holy Spirit to do those works and display his power on earth by showing his goodness to the human race. Now Jesus lives his life and demonstrates God's power, and then we see him crucified. He willingly went to the cross, took upon our sin, and paid for it with his precious blood. He died on that cross, and we see on the third day God demonstrating his power once again as he raises up Jesus from the dead. We read this in Ephesians chapter 1, starting from verse 16. Says, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe." God wants us to know this incomparable great power to those who believe. The great incomparable power that brought Jesus from the dead. God wants us to have a revelation of this power. Why? So we will begin to demonstrate that great power to the outside world. If we have no revelation of that, we are not going to be demonstrating or displaying that power to others. That's what has happened to the body of Christ, to the most part. There's a lot of talk, there's a lot of preaching and teaching, there's very little of the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Jesus did not just come talking and just preaching and teaching. He demonstrated God's power in many works he did. Jesus knew who he was, and he was anointed with the Holy Spirit to do the works. Now God wants us to have a good revelation of who we are and what is available to us. And not only it is available to us, it's in us. The kingdom of God is in us. Therefore, the power is in us. And God wants us to have a revelation of this power, so we will begin to demonstrate or display that power by the works we do. So going back to Ephesians 1:19, it says, "And his incomparable great power to us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." So we see the glorified, resurrected Christ raised from the dead by the power of the living God. And now he is in heaven at the right hand of the Father. All rule and authority has been put onto him. Now we as the body of Christ has been given the responsibility to continue to demonstrate that power that Jesus demonstrated on earth until he comes. Now let's go to Luke 24:49. Now this is before Jesus was taken up to heaven. He's saying, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Now Jesus is giving them a command to stay in Jerusalem until that they will be clothed with power from upon high. This is the promise that he gave before he left. And in Acts 1:3, "After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God. Why? Because he wanted them to know what the kingdom of God was like. He's going to go to heaven. He wanted his disciples to know what the kingdom of God is like. So he spoke many things about the kingdom. Then continue on, verse 4 says, "On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Then verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So now he is getting ready to pass on that power to the believers as he's getting ready to go to the Father. And moving on to Acts 2, we see when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So now we see the promise of the Father coming on the day of Pentecost, and we see the believers, the 120 believers, were baptizing the Holy Spirit, and they are speaking in tongues, and we see God releasing His power into the believers. Jesus said, "Wait in Jerusalem until you be clothed with power." In chapter 2 of Acts, we see that power, the Holy Spirit coming on them. Just as the Holy Spirit was on Jesus and He went about doing good, now the Holy Spirit has come on us and He's in us so that we can do the works of God, so we can demonstrate His power to this world. Now, as you read the book of Acts, you see the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. First, Peter got up and he preached, and we see 3,000 people getting saved. Then we see Peter in chapter 3 healing the crippled man. Then as it continue on, we see people bringing sick people and the demon possessed to the streets, and we see even the very shadow of Peter falling on them and delivering them and healing them and setting them free. What is God doing? He's demonstrating His power through the apostles. As we go on, in chapter 4, we see the apostles were persecuted. It says after they were released, they went to their own people and reported what the chief priests and the elders said to them. This is in Acts 4, starting from 23. It says, "On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. 'Sovereign Lord,' they said, 'You made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David.'" As we continue on in that, I'm going to move down to verse 29. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miracles, signs, and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, in this we see not only the apostles, but all the believers were filled. Now, this is not the initial filling of the Holy Spirit. They were refilled. And as they prayed, they were refilled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They spoke the word with boldness. That's what comes when you have the power of the Holy Spirit. Believers have boldness to speak the word with power. And in every situation, as they speak the word with boldness, it hits the mark and it brings about God's desired purposes in the lives of others. For example, if you see a person that is steeped in sin or any kind of bondage, addiction, when you have the power, you can speak into their lives with authority and power, and you can destroy those bondages and those chains that have kept them in bondage. You can set them free as you speak the word with boldness, because there's authority and there's power in your words that you speak, and you can set captives free. When you rebuke sickness and disease, when you pray in the name of Jesus and command the sickness to leave, they will leave, because there's power in your words. When you speak to evil spirits to leave, they will leave. Why? Because you have power and authority in your words, and they know that, and they know they have to leave. In the scriptures, now the believers are beginning to operate in the power, and they are beginning to speak the word boldly. Now, this is what we need in the body of Christ and the modern day church. We need the believers to step out in faith wherever they are, whether it's in their homes, whether they're in their place of work, or wherever they do business. People need to have the boldness to speak the word, and that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. And God wants the believers to receive the power so they can operate in this power and to fulfill their God-given purposes, God-given destiny for their lives. God wants us to be people of power and authority. Born-again believers should not be timid. We should not be fearful. We have the kingdom of God within us, and God has come to live in us. The same God that created the heavens and the earth with his power is in us. And the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the same power that did those works when Jesus walked on this earth is in us. Now he's saying it's time for you to have a revelation of that and beginning to step into that arena and begin to operate in God's power. It's very simple. Once you have a revelation of that, you will step into that area. Until you have a revelation, you are going to be timid. And if you are a person that you have not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, then of course you will be fearful because you do not have the power. And God wants you to have faith to come into that realm and to receive the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to every born-again believer. Whatever your teaching may be that you have been taught in the church, whatever your background may be and the erroneous things that they have taught, you have a choice by reading the scriptures to renew your mind and come to know the truth in this area. And then God wants you to receive the power so that you can operate in that power. If you are a born-again believer, the power is available to you and you need to take full usage of that power and operate in that power. And this is a desire of God in these end times for his church. So as we continue to read the book of Acts, we see Paul, how God is using Paul in the ministry of signs and wonders. And we see Philip, the evangelist, how God is using him in healing the sick and delivering people from evil spirits. These things are written in the Word so that we can know that these things are for us. Continuing the Gospel of John, he said, the same works that I did, you will also do, and greater works than these you will do. Now, if Jesus said that, then we ought to be doing these things. It's not just for the apostles, not just for the evangelist, it's for all the people. As we draw closer to the coming of Jesus, God wants to demonstrate his power and his authority to this fallen world so that he can reap a harvest. Because miracles and the works of God, he uses the works of God to demonstrate his power, to display his power, so people turn to him. And you can see many times when Jesus did those miracles, people believed. You see many times when the apostles did those works, people believed. That's the whole point of the power, displaying the power, is so that people will believe in this living God. The whole world is in darkness. And they have not had a demonstration of the living God who created them. And he's telling his believers, you are my instruments, and I want to display my power to others so they can believe in him. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. Did you hear that? The gospel of Jesus Christ came not just with words. God does not just speak words and leave it there. When he speaks words, there's a demonstration of his power released through his words to accomplish his will. It's not just words. Reading again, it says, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power. Also with power. The gospel, the good news, did not just come to us in words. It came to us with power, power to save, power to heal, power to deliver, power to set captives free in every area. That's the good news. It did not come in just in word. It came in power with the Holy Spirit, who is the source of that power, and with deep conviction. Now this is what the power of God will accomplish. So when you speak the word, there's such a deep conviction that it hits the mark and it brings about God's plans and purposes, his will to pass on the lives of others. This is the reason we have to have the power. Kingdom of God is not talk, but power. 1 Corinthians 4:20. Let's read 1 Corinthians 1:24. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. To those whom God has called, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. We are called by God. If you are born again, you are called by God. And Jesus, the power of God, lives inside of you through the power of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not just talk, but power. And that kingdom is within you. In that case, that power needs to be displayed through your life. 1 Corinthians 2:4, Paul is writing and he's saying, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." If you are a preacher and a teacher, your message should not be just persuasive words. It should be a message of with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So preachers and teachers, whatever they preach and teach, has to also have demonstration of Spirit's power. Now this is not only for preachers and teachers, but I mention preachers and teachers because Paul was a preacher. And he said, "My preaching was not just persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power." We all have to have the demonstration of the Spirit's power. And if you are a preacher and a teacher, you should have the demonstration of the Spirit's power as you preach and teach. The power of God should operate through you to set captives free, free people from sin, sickness and disease and mental torment and all kinds of demon spirits. That power ought to be demonstrating through your life. Then continue our verse 5, we say, "So that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." As preachers and teachers, you have to be careful that your preaching and teaching, you demonstrate power in your preaching and teaching, that the people see the power of God in display. Now, moving on to others that are in the body of Christ, not everybody is a preacher or a teacher, but everybody is a minister. But those that are not being a ministry of preaching and teaching, yet each one of us should operate in this power, because the power is in each one of us. He does not give different measures of power to different people. When the Holy Spirit came to each one of us, it's the same Holy Spirit, whether you are in a ministry or not, it's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same power. So the same power is in the rest of the believers in the body of Christ, because it's the same Holy Spirit. We don't have different degrees of the Holy Spirit. We have the same Holy Spirit. And so when he comes in, he brings his power, and the power is in us, and therefore we can demonstrate that power as we come into a greater understanding of the power of God in us. God has not just left us here helpless and to do his work in our own strength and in our own power. How can we as human beings accomplish his great plans with our own little strength and our own wisdom and our own power? We have to have his power, and he has given us his power, and it is in us. And now God is saying in Ephesians 1, starting from 17, he said, "I want to give you a revelation, spirit of wisdom and revelation, of that immeasurable power that I have placed inside of you, so you can demonstrate that to the world by setting captives free, by healing the sick, delivering the oppressed, gifts of healing, gifts of working on miracles, other gifts of the Holy Spirit, discerning of spirits, gift of word of knowledge, gift of word of wisdom, gift of prophecy." All these things that God has given to the body of Christ, and he gives to each believer the gifts according to his grace, and then he empowers us to be able to use those gifts so that he can demonstrate his power on earth, so it can be a blessing to others to set captives free. And God wants his people to come into a greater revelation that the kingdom of God is not just talk, but of power. And he wants that power, his power, to be demonstrated in and through our lives, in the situations, in the lives of others, so that his great name will be exalted and praised. And this is where God wants to bring the end time church into, a place of power and his authority, so that his great name will be exalted throughout the earth. Amen.